you turn to these two guys, at this point you're out of handcuffs, so they know something's coming. Do you have your knife in your hand?
Yeah.
And what's their reaction?
They just back up like this.
They hold their hands up?
Yeah.
I told them, get out of here. Say, get out of here?
Yeah. So they ran down the tier, and then I ran out the clutch.
At this point, he's away.
Yeah.
And
well, he's seen me coming. He
sees you coming.
He sees me coming.
And what's he do?
He freezes. He's just standing there looking at me. And I just go all the way off. I just go all the way off. I just start stabbing him. We're fighting, he's hitting me and stuff, but I just keep stabbing him. And then he runs down the tier.
Is he saying stop, don't?
I'm not hearing nothing.
What do you mean when you're going off? You mean it's just...
It's just, all I see is his hands moving and me stabbing. It's just everything just goes blank. And the next thing I know, he's running down the tier. And I'm running behind him. And he runs past the door and he slammed the door. Well, one of the guards picked up a club and hit me in the head. And
one of the guards did try to help him.
Well, later he ran down into the lockbox and got a club.
Uh-huh.
And then ran back. And then Cole caught me in the head when I was running after clutch.
Uh-huh. Did you stab him?
No, I just backed up. Uh-huh. I could have, but he was always all right with me. By then, after I was running after him and stuff, I was out of that. I wasn't, hurt. It was like a big weight lifted off me. It was over. I didn't want to, I could have got him, but.
You didn't?
No.
You calmed him down?
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Well, he slams the door, and the goon squad comes, and he asks me for the knife. And so I tell them no, and they're all, give us a knife. And I tell them no. And I want something guaranteed that ain't nothing gonna happen to me. And so they got a lieutenant down there.
They don't come in, they don't say, okay, buddy, and they don't come in and deck you and floor you and everything else. They're still behind there.
Yeah. And so a lieutenant comes over and he tells me, you just give us a knife and just go to your cell and lock up and nothing will happen. So I give him the knife, I go to the cell.
Okay. Did you believe him or did you just figure, well, I don't have much choice here?
Yeah.
They're eventually going to get in anyway. So,
yeah.
I mean, what were your feelings?
That was about it. Plus, that's not me though. See, I did what I did and I didn't want no more. I don't want to be told. If you're going to tell me, yeah, I'm not going to sit there, I want you anyway, come on in, you're coppers. And plus I'm in no position to really argue.
Yeah.
I'm outnumbered, they can come in there and shoot me if they want to, So I just didn't, the way that they were huffing and puffing, man, I seen the looks on their face. I just better get some kind of reassurance.
Uh-huh. You want to at least calm down to realize that they just can't come in and work you over or kill you.
Then
what happens?
Then I go lock up.
And what happens then? They come in and they get the knife?
I already give them the knife.
Okay. Then what happens then?
Then they take me into the office. They handcuff me and take me into the office. And
did anybody beat you up at that point?
No.
Okay.
Nobody touched me. I didn't get messed with until later after they took me out. But they took me into the office and the FBI was there. And the FBI asked me what was
happening. FBI had already been?
Yeah. Well, this is sometime later. After I locked up, some time passed, and
do you know at this point the guy's dead?
No.
Okay.
They just took him out.
What's going on with the other convicts?
As far as what?
Do they see this? Are they yelling? Are they screaming? Are they talking to you? Are they just ignoring it? What? Do they know?
Well, one guy was out on the range, but I don't think the rest of them, you can't really see because they got them we call them boxcars. We call them boxcars. They got a door in front where you can't really get down a tier like you can with regular cells. I don't really remember.
Okay. You're not thinking about that. What are you thinking about?
I wasn't thinking to think.
Yeah.
I was just wondering. Mainly I was wondering when they were going to come in. you know, on what was going to happen next.
Sure. Are they going to come in here and beat me? What? Yeah. Okay.
Because, yeah. You know, this is another thing, too. You're out there in Oakleyville. All these guys are farmers and whatever they do, they all drink together and party together. And they run it like that. You know, you mess with one, you got to mess with all, and all that kind of stuff. So you expect some kind of retaliation, I guess.
Does that surprise you? Or do you have any feelings about it? Is that good, bad, whatever? I mean, does that surprise you that if you mess with one, you got to take them all on?
It's kind of strange because you're not, when you're on the streets, you don't look at a law enforcement like that. You know, you, as a kid, you always look at, some kids say, oh, I want to be a policeman, you know, and you think cops and officials like that are real upstanding, law-abiding type of people, and they run by the rules and regulations. You don't really expect them to be real clannish and real Gestapo-like.
You expect them, if they're going to be cops and they choose to play that game, they choose to be the good guy and live by the rules, you expect them to live by those rules.
Right.
And not cross over and live by someone else's rules.
Right.
They're not supposed to be the kind who steal your stuff or mess with your paintings or come down and beat you up.
Yeah.
Their rules say you don't do that.
Well, not only that, but I can see, now if I spit on you and then you got something to spit on me for, but just because I'm there and you got some kind of weird trip, I don't understand that. I don't understand. That's why I couldn't do that to them guys in hostages. I couldn't see myself just walking up there and just doing something to somebody just to do it. I wouldn't tear up your writings just to be doing it. It's like kids, some kids that pull wings off butterflies or burn cat's tails. That was never my truth as a kid. Why do some kids choose to do that to animals and stuff? I don't know. And my perception of law enforcement is like law enforcement. And that's what they play on when it goes too far. And then they push people where they react like I did. And then they accuse us of being killers and maniacs. But they don't tell you what leads up to all that, what they do in the meantime. Then they jump behind the badge and say, oh, we're just doing our job. And we're just about, they don't tell you about how they called you all kinds of names and messed with you for 3 years and you know, had you all came down and you know, sprayed mace in your face and hit you on your nuts and took clubs and beat you.
Did that happen to you?
Yeah, a lot of times.
Like clutch?
Yeah, it hit you.
Tying you down?
Well, not right then with him personally, but that's happened over the years of with different goon squads and stuff. You just this is what I'm trying to say too in this thing right here. It's just not clutch. It's just not this one incident. This has been going on. This is why so many prisoners have empathy for me, because they've been in these situations or seen it. They've been on the chairs where these goon squad comes in and they act not in an organized manner. They'll tell you, oh, we have a specific way of grabbing them, and yeah, they do, to get you down. But then ask them why they beat you after you're down, or keep you chained in that bed for days in and days out. And that stuff works on your mind year after year, and you see your buddies getting that treatment, and you hear how they talk to you, or pull you out and want a skin search and tell you to spin over and spread your asshole and stuff like that. You know, men's got pride on you as a prisoner or not. This stuff wears on your mind, where it's no more, they're not law, you don't look at them as law enforcement anymore, like you do as when you're a citizen, and you see them in a different law-abiding way. You see them for how they are, and you don't treat them the same as you would.
And how they are is, I mean, all of them aren't this way.
No. If there was, man, we'd really be in trouble.
Uh-huh.
I think that's why I told you, I don't think someone would put their neck out enough to kill somebody, even if they wanted to, because some of them are decent enough to get back and not go for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, they might get in trouble.
Uh-huh.
But it's not the same, and it's hard to tell people that.
Did the FBI listen to this? Did they listen to your explanation?
Yeah.
And what did they say?
Nothing. I just told them, you know, they want to know if it was some kind of strike or demonstration. Or I told them, no, it's just a personal thing with me and him.
Did they tell you he had died?
No.
How did you find that out?
I think it was on the news or something.
No one in the system told you?
Yeah, when I was down in the hole, but it came later. Somebody from, you can call down in the hole. Somebody else saw it on TV.
And so a fellow convict called, yelled, or told you that he died.
Yeah.
What did he say? Did he say, get job, or did he say, hey, the guy died, or what?
I died. Well, nobody, I don't know anybody in their life clutch.
Uh-huh.
You know,
staff and others.
I don't know about
staff, but
I don't think anybody likes a bully. If the staff said they liked him, it was just
camaraderie.
Yeah.
And what did you feel like when you found out he was dead?
I don't know, mixed feelings. I still got him. I still dream about him. You know, I don't know, I just wish it had never happened. I just wish he would have listened to me. You know, when I told him, Chris, you don't know who you mess with, man. I got forever in prison, and I'm not going to sit in this cage and let you house me day in and day out like this and threaten me. You know, you better get out of my case.
And then antagonize him more.
Oh, yeah, you ain't going to show me. I was like, this joint, rah, rah, rah. I'll do whatever I feel like telling you. Yeah.
Could you see it coming like a train coming? You just knew where it was going, but...
Yeah, but I'm still... You still think, man, these people are supposed to be law and order. You know, they're the ones that are supposed to, you know, be the good guys, supposedly. You know, why is he doing this? You know, what's his trick? I had mixed feelings about that, because he had all the aces in his car. They could have done whatever they felt like doing.
Yeah. Well, what was the point? Why do this? And you think it originally related back to the fact that this other guy, that he was angry about him, and he transfers it over to you, and his whole attitude. And, you know, he's just one of these guys who for some reason is going to get on your case.
And he liked to make that a point and show off to the other guards.
Did you hear the guy who killed Cadillac Smith and I could be tough with him?
Yeah.
You say you dream about it? What do you mean?
Yeah. I've dreamt about him for years. I just see him in my dreams a lot of times. I see his wife a lot too. I feel real bad for her.
How do you know about his wife?
Well, I seen her in court. She came in court hearing.
What did she do? Did she look at you? Was she crying?
Yeah, her and her daughter, I think it was. I think he's got a daughter or something. She was crying and stuff. And I was thinking, man, she looked like a real nice lady. And I'm thinking, man, you know, how could this creep be married to her? But I was thinking, you know, he's got family too. Yeah, it was weird sitting there watching her go through that trip. But then, it's real guilty because everybody just hears how mean and rotten I am for doing that. And like he was just, they put him behind a badge again, like he was just doing his job keeping these dangerous prisoners, you know, in line. You know, and it wasn't like that at all, man. That guy got off on making people's lives miserable. And you're sitting there and you're listening to everybody talk bad about you and me. You know, like you're scum on earth, but you don't have any compassion for anybody, you're just a mad dog, killer. And what was, you know, I never tortured anybody.
And you feel like he was?
Oh, I'm sure he was.
And the person who was tortured, obviously, is you, yeah. Every day. And none of that ever came out? Did anybody ever believe your side of it?
Nobody's, I told my story and, see, and this is another thing about the law, I brought witnesses for the last 3 years to testify all these events because nothing really happened there that people never heard of. because we're all right there together.
Right. Witnesses of the contract?
No, well, they said the only witnesses I could call was the people that was on the scene at the time.
Okay.
I said, well, if you just look at it at the scene at the time, I look like a maniac. It's like me and you arguing, and all of a sudden you call me a name, and I just punch you out.
Yeah.
I just look like a hothead. But if I can't show what you did to me for three solid years, where it just built and built and built and built, you know.
And they come to you at that point and say, well, we're all BP nuts. Why don't you report this?
Yeah.
Where's your case?
Yeah.
And you said,
it is a waste of time. If I fuck, I'm going to get it worse. I'm not going to get it from Clutch. I'm going to get it from the rest of them.
When you see him in your dreams, he just appears, or the...
I relive the whole thing. The whole thing goes over and over.
The stabbing.
Yeah.
You see him.
Yeah.
You see his wife.
Yeah.
What? I mean, that's not, obviously that's not something you want to dream about particularly, is it? It's just something that happens. Because obviously it's still on your mind.
Very much so.
Do you feel sorry about that?
In what way?
I'm not sure. Do you feel sorry, like, or do you regret killing him? Because I guess you'd have to explain why. I mean,
let's put it this way: if I had it all over to do again, I wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't kill him?
No.
What would you do differently?
I don't know. I don't know. I think I would. I think he was just selling me wolf tickets. But he didn't know that, I was taking him for serious. Somebody tells you, as many fools as I ran into over the years and as many killings as I've seen, when somebody tells you they're going to kill you, man, you can't sit back and just, oh, it ain't nothing.
Yeah.
No, that's, somebody that goes that far. And especially when you're telling him you don't want no trouble, man, get off my case. I mean, I pleaded with that guy. Maybe that's why he thought, well, he can do what he wants to me. Or maybe I'm not what he thought I was. Maybe he expected me to, and then he might have backed off or something. I don't know what his trip was. But he tried to
kill me. Do you feel like he deserved to die, though, for what he was doing to you?
Well, yeah, I'm mad at myself because I went off. That's why I'm telling you on this. When you said how do you maintain, I lost it. I wasn't maintaining. I got swept up in that whole thing. And I don't think I'm maintaining when that kind of stuff affects me at that point. And if it wasn't that serious, this is what bothers me about these people afterwards, BOP. If it's not as serious as I say it is, then why did I kill him? Now that's a serious incident. Somebody ought to come in and say, what happened to push you that far to kill this guy? Especially when they know me. I've been in prison 14 years. Why all of a sudden I get to marry the last couple of years, I get in all this trouble?
What possible reason would you have for killing him? I mean, that's what you're saying. Yeah, if you just wanted to kill a guy, you had two of them when you slipped out of handcuffs. So I'd run all the way down the tier block and get him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What did they say? And has anybody ever said anything to you? So it's just a matter of, do people acknowledge you had a beef with him? But they just say it's just you, it's all your fault still. He's behind the badge.
Plus the trip with Fountain, I wasn't there and I don't know what happened with that, but his cases happening that night makes it all the worse.
What I heard was that, what it was explained to me was, hey, you had these two guys, they're having a contest, and you had a beef with this guy, when you killed him, Fountain wanted to get as many kills as you had, so he killed this other guy.
That doesn't, Fountain's nuts. He's not. I can't really speak for Fountain, but he's not that type, man. I'm telling you that Marion, look at that. Did you see them guys in them uniforms going down through them by themselves, that goon squad and stuff? You just can't do that to people year after year after year, day after day after day, and have them under that kind of pressure and not expect something to explode. And at that time, I guess at that moment, that's when just, if they didn't lock it down or whatever, there'd be a lot more of that kind of stuff. That's why they're so scared now to open that joint up.
Did you think that they were used your case as an excuse just to lock the place down? Were they looking for a reason to lock it down or not?
Well, it actually has been locked down since about 80. What they're saying right now is them units, they used to go out to the yard when before the lockdown, or what they call a lockdown, it was pretty much locked down anyway. When that factory, because you mentioned this stuff and hear about the strike and stuff, the whole joint's been locked down like that for a long time. And you can't lock people down like that and not expect, people that love each other can't even live together. Wives and husbands can't even live together on a vacation. They can't even go out on a vacation without fighting. You lock them up and you lock strangers up, different races, different religions, in the same environment for year after year after year and not expect people to blow up.
Right.
That's insane. It's not because they're bad people, you just put so much pressure on these bars, man. We're human beings. And wives kill their husbands, and they love to marry. They make love and stuff. And they go off on their husbands for being abusive and stuff, and they expect us to sit back and twirl our thumbs. I've heard friends, good friends, they gotta be laughing too much on Johnny Carson. Be laughing at Johnny Carson, gotta tell them, hey, why don't you hold the noise down? This guy, these are guys who are friends. They're laughing, joking a few hours earlier. Oh, why don't you shut up? And then, next thing you know, they're trying to kill each other. You know, it just gets so crazy. You no longer think about rational type of thoughts. You're just so full of hate, and you hate the bars, you can't go outside. If somebody messes with you, can't say, oh, I'm going to go out and get a drink, or I'm going to go play with my kids, or I'm going to go take the dog. You can't do none of that for release. They just want to keep locking you down like that's going to stop the trouble. Or you just make it worse. And that's what happened at Murray.
What's the worst part? What's the worst part then? Not now, but what was the worst part when you were marrying then? Just that total control? Somebody has total control of your life? Or what bugged you the most about prison?
Clutch.
He just became a fixation with you when you woke up in the morning.
From the time I hear his voice or see him on a chair, I'd be up pacing. And my whole day would be ruined, because I know a day wouldn't pass if I got my cell shut down or he would do something, cut my rec short, mess with my pictures, my mail. He used to switch my letters. I'd send out mail and he'd switch my letters on me.
What do you mean? You open them and send a letter to Sue, to Pam, and Pam to Sue?
Right. Yeah. How do you know he'd come back? Well, he'd come back and laugh at me.
He'd tell you that?
Yeah. And I had him there in Atlanta from affidavits from people that's got other people's mail to try to show that.
Uh-huh.
To show that they did receive different. No.
Did he have a thing? Didn't he ever get rotated out of there?
No, that's one of the things. They're supposed to rotate every 3 months. But in his case, he was the number one guard. Yeah. Almost 3 or 4 years. That was another thing, too. He was the number one. They didn't have lieutenants like they do now in different units. He was the main team going. They had unit manager and all that stuff, but he ran the cell block. And all the complaints and stuff went to him, through him. So if I wrote him up, it'd go through him.
If you wrote him up, he had to see it, and that would even be worse. Did he have, did he treat anybody else this way, or just you?
Yeah, John, and a few other guys. But me
Where's
and
John now?
He's back in Marion. That's, I heard, John Greshner.
Uh-huh.
He was going to be one of my witnesses. He wanted to come to my trial to explain how this came about.
What was it about Clutch besides him? What was it about him that you disliked besides the fact that he was picking on you, or was that it?
That was it. I didn't have anything. I didn't even know the guy.
But when you talked to him, I mean, it turned into a real hatred, obviously. I mean, what kind of conversations did you have every day, or what was it like day after day with him coming in there? You said you got up in the morning and started pacing the floor because you knew something was going to happen. Was it was the kind of thing you could just say, hey man, look, you know, like me, I don't like you, this is crazy, let's just back off.
I've told him that time and time, and I told him, it got past that, and I told him, Clutch, listen, I got forever in here, I got life in prison. You know, I'm not a punk, a little guy that you can smack around all the time. Don't, you better get off my case, Clutch. You got something coming, keep messing with me. And he just, they're just that fuel of flame, he just wouldn't listen.
And you realized after what, Cadillac Smith's death, that you were going to have life? That you still planned on getting out?
No, from the time I went to Marion, I had a life.
But you still thought life is what, 30 years, 30, 30 years, 10 years? You still figured you'd get out, right?
Yeah, when you're looking at life in 10 years to the board,